Hello and welcome to the Saxo Market Call. It's Thursday, 14th of January, 2021. And a rather quiet session yesterday. We're seeing U.S. equities continue to stay above the key sort of downside pivots we've talked about in the recent couple of days. I put up on slide two, though, I'm a little bit concerned about this momentum situation from the technical side. If you look at an indicator like the MACD, where you're seeing, because of the slower pace of advance on a sort of a moving average basis, you're seeing that momentum indicator is sliding and sliding and sliding without new upward impulses. So something needs to happen to the upside soon. Otherwise, I would suspect we might be at risk of a slightly larger consolidation lower. Put in the 21-day moving average in green there. It's, of course, rises a bit every day with this generally rising market. And this 12,900 area still looks a little bit pivotal. And then maybe 12,500 to the downside. I guess interesting, Peter, we've got a couple things on the docket coming up. We've got a transition to a Biden administration, and there was talk of $2 trillion stimulus potentially. The market, at least the equity market, didn't seem very reactive to that. And then we have earnings season coming up. I don't know what you think weighs a bit more for equities. I guess it would be earnings season.
Yeah. Well, that will be the next week and the following week. I mean, this week it's just really tomorrow. We'll talk about Delta Airlines in a few minutes. But what I'm taking out of the market, John, is that I think trading wise, we've entered what all the actually alluded to a little bit earlier this week. I mean, it's just we're taking a pause here on the reflation trade and growth trade. So I think we're down to noise trading, as I call it, where you have trading ranges that are so well close to your averages that it just constitutes a normal ebb and flow of the market and basically noise. There's no really information value right now in the market. And as I've put in, just as a reminder, I mean, you can see that the dividend futures for 2022, which is the big chart on slide three in the background, I mean, it's up 6.5% this year. So, I mean, the trajectory and demand for the growth rebound trade is still quite strong. But I think the most interesting development is still this VIX. I mean, it's closed down at 22 level yesterday. But as you can see on the small insert there on slide three, we haven't really been able to firmly break below 20, which has been synonymous with very strong equity markets in over the past 10 years. So, as we talked about, something structurally happened in 2020. Of course, there was the pandemic, but we have to talk about this Robin Hood, and we use the word Robin Hood. Maybe it's not too much giving them too much fairness, but I think they've just become the word of. The word we coined for what's happening with the retail investors that's splashing into the markets, and they're doing a lot of options buying. It's a little bit of what we also saw back in the late 90s, and this frenzy on the in the options markets, specifically on the call side with the retail investors buying these call options. I think it's really the strong demand is pushing up the implied volatility in VIX index. So I actually think to a large extent it sends the wrong signals, because to me, I mean, just intuitively, why would we continue to have elevated volatility compared to the previous years when we have all the stimulus in the world, a pretty solid increasing positive outlook for the economy, at least over the next year. And we have a new administration coming in. We have the election. It's over and done now. Well, maybe you can come up with some arguments, John. I just feel like maybe 2022 is just too high. I mean, with everything I'm looking at from equity point of view and with the rally, I would expect it to have been below 20. So I can only come up with the Robin Hood traders being, you know, naked long the calls.
Yeah, my understanding is a lot of these the sort of post-COVID environment has just blown a lot of former strategies out of the water in terms of yield enhancement and selling calls. But I don't know. That's not my area of expertise, but you can just see it's such a clear regime shift on that inset chart you have on slide three with the VIX. Another area we're talking about overnight was the Chinese trade data that came in. And we've talked about how, you know, US and other stimulus worldwide from the COVID pandemic has really helped to feed a supercharged demand into a lot of Chinese exports and export industries. But of course, you know, the stimulus has to feed through the entire system. Also, it feeds through for Chinese imports of, well, equipment, but also commodities. Was it you that put the slide on slide four with the imports growing year on year? Is that, I think it was you, Peter. So even imports growing now after while the exports continue to grow even more. But this is an interesting development and one we need to track also for in the currency market for UN strength.
Yeah, I just put it in just because it was a positive surprise in December, and it just, you know, it we're talking about the reflation trade, and if the inflation trade in our theme is going to come true this year, we need China as a centerpiece of this. I mean, the global economy to rebound, and we need to have constraints, and we need to have solid growth numbers. And I think the imports, as we try to talk about, do you want to look at the export or the imports? You could say the export is the consumer demand from the West, but I think the imports are also important because you have to import certain goods and commodities from all the sector before you can actually produce anything. So the imports need to be strong, and that positive surprise just underscores the growth story. Is that theme or narrative is intact, if you will.
Yeah, and it also, you know, the rate at which commodity prices have been rising, of course, if that continues, it starts to, you would think at some point, reduce Chinese surpluses. The trade surplus hit a record in November, and then that record was added to and broken in December. But Ola, on slide nine today, you're taking us through a bit of caution or a bit of a cautionary note on some of these, this commodity story, at least linked to China.
Yeah, because if you look at the slide there, you can see the that we basically had a, even though we've seen this very strong rally in some of these key commodities, we actually seen demand for crude oil, copper, and soybeans slow in recent months, and these are really three of the main engines for the bull market we've had in the commodity space. So I think it's just worth keeping an eye on it, whether it's a response to our rising prices or whether it's just maybe the market is having a slightly too optimistic view on the demand in China. That obviously remains to be seen, but I think it's just something that we need to be aware of. It's also at the same time we can see the coming winter has really seen an explosion in gas imports and coal imports, both hitting record numbers. So as a whole, it's not a slowdown, but I'm just watching some of these key commodities for any signs whether that engine is going to continue to keep these prices on an upward trajectory.
And just to loop back to our discussion of Robinhood, I watched this interesting yearly predictions video from Scott Galloway. He's a very noted commentator, and if you're not aware of him, look him up, Professor Galloway. But he had a 2021 predictions video, and he talked about Robinhood being the new menace. I'll let his coverage of that speak for itself. It's around a minute 39 in that presentation. I'll send a link out to it. But he calls it the new menace, and he puts up this interesting chart that I hadn't seen before. So the velocity of options trading at leading retail brokers, he has Robinhood up there at the very top. And he says options traded in 1 month on Robinhood is the same as 7 years of options trading on Charles Schwab, another major retail platform. Of course, Schwab is much smaller than even some of its own competitors, E-Trade, TD Ameritrade. But that's the perspective. It is a very large new phenomenon where this derivatives market, clearly, especially in stocks like Tesla, where the notional underlying stock that is being controlled by these daily options volumes is on the order of hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars with the Tesla stock, is moving the market to some degree. But let's go back to, as well, some developing news. And there was a report late last night from CNN, very sketchy on details. I don't think there are really any details at all, but that Biden will be seeking a $2 trillion stimulus, larger than the $1.3 trillion that's been circulated by incoming Democratic Senate Majority Leader Schumer, which was $1.3 trillion. So we saw Treasuries coming off again, and I've got a little bit of perspective on that in today's slide deck. So if we go to slide six, just looking at how much U.S. yields have risen, around 27 basis points for the 10-year. And I would argue if we see another rise, and that rise, most of it happened inside the space of a week, if we see a rise of that magnitude again, I think it starts to have very severe implications across markets. So encouraging people to keep an eye on yields. The Fed has been out with all the talking about taper, and in some cases, very limited, mostly Bostic talking about taper. And we've seen another pushback from a round of officials yesterday on the idea that the Fed is set to taper. So Brainard saying it's too soon to consider, Harker saying he wants to see 2% inflation first, and Clarida, who was out speaking about the whole Fed framework yesterday, the average inflation targeting framework, said he wanted to see 12 months of above 2% inflation. So if that's the PCE core he's talking about, which presumably it is, that's what the Fed tracks. We have only really seen that in the past few decades in 05 and 06. So that would be require a lot. The interesting thing would be if they're making a policy mistake, we get post-vaccine, and that'll cue up our next little discussion, Peter. And the policy mistake is that the stimulus really washes through the economy aggressively and that their purchases don't are not sufficient given how much net issuance is needed. And we see maybe 3-4% or higher inflation. How does the Fed react there? I think that's a really interesting question. And then you can see on slide 7 that the market is already starting to game potential rate hikes for out into, the odds are starting to pick up into early and mid 2023, as you can see on the June 2023 Eurodollar. But Peter, you had an interesting comment on the leader in this vaccine race, Israel. I hadn't read this story talking about that they're already seeing some effects from their vaccine rollout at what, 20 plus percent of the population?
23. Yeah. It's the latest numbers.
Yeah, and that's on slide 8. Bloomberg does some great, you can see the link there, does some great vaccine data tracking. So in the US, you can see that the leading states are around 5+%. Unfortunately, a lot of them at 2% around there. But if they're already seeing it at 20%, it'd be interesting. Israel is the test case, I guess, for how quickly this is having a real effect in terms of immunity and so on.
Exactly, but it also, John, it will begin. It will be data that you can use to begin modeling the rollout, the trajectory of the rollout of vaccination, and how long it will take estimated to get to that point where you're beginning to see a positive effect and you can ease restrictions. That's why the Israel data is so important. But also, I believe, is there around 10 million or 8 million people in Israel or whatever. But at 23%, you're getting to a large numbers that are moving towards their second doses. So you'll also get incredible amount of data on both the effectiveness, but also the safety. The safety of this vaccine, and so far, if you look through the report, it looks pretty stellar, to say at least.
Yeah, and then that leads you to what happens with normalization of activity. I know for myself, I'm looking forward to sitting here on a snowy January day in Denmark, looking towards some sun and southern climes in the summer. Yeah, and you've got some thoughts on Delta Airlines, I guess, on that account.
Yeah, because I think this discussion leads to that. So Delta Airlines being one of the major airliners in the US, and part of what we coined as the equity mystery index that we published late last year on analysis.saxo, where we grouped the various industries that has been hit the most by the pandemic. And most of that is tied to the mobility restrictions that have been put in place in basically every single country in the world. And Delta Airlines, as you can see here, they're reporting earnings today before the market opens. It has rebounded, recouped around half of the losses during 2020's pandemic rout in March and February. And the big question is, how much juice is there in these rebound stocks in the mystery index? And the big question is, and I've put in a small insert with some accounting numbers from Delta Airlines. So the big problem with a lot of these companies is that they've issued a lot of debt to cover expenses and keep the ship going through the storm, so they can actually have a meaningful, so they actually can survive and be meaningful after the pandemic, and that means that a lot of the excess free cash flow that comes on the back of a normalization will have to be used to reduce debt again, because it elevates the credit risk, but it also, as you reduce the debt, you free up, so to speak, value away from the creditors towards the shareholders. In the case of Delta Airlines, they have also issued roughly $20 billion in cash combined, which is almost the same as what they have increased the debt. So Delta Airlines' net debt load is actually not increased significantly. So I think Delta Airlines have done a lot of the right things to preserve itself. And that's also why I'm saying, is the market too pessimistic on 2022, but also the company overall? Because if you look at the 2022 expectations, the expectation is for around $38 billion in revenue. And that compares with a normal year of 2019 of 47. And if we have a complete vaccination rollout by 2021, and the government's via its stimulus get the employment rate, or sorry, get the employment levels back also around maybe late 2021 back to the where we were. I mean, I don't see any reason why Delta Airlines should not be back to those just sub $50 billion in revenue, because is it, if anything, when you talk to people, people want to go back traveling, people want to go back to the lives they had. So I'm leaning towards that there is actually an upside surprise that is not being fully discounted for these airliners.
Interesting stuff, and then especially the time scale of all this vaccine stuff. I'm really afraid for the next, let's call it 8 weeks minimum, for me personally in lockdown here, because also these new hyper contagious varieties are spreading, but also unfortunately in the case of the US, if these contagious varieties get out there with some of the attitude there and some of the case numbers we're seeing, there could just be an ugly month or two left of this. And hopefully we're really starting to get traction on vaccines. Let's call it into April, into the April timeframe. But that's not really stopping oil that much. I mean, it's pulled back a little bit. There's been the story with natural gas out in Asia, but it just seems to, you know, more or less keep trucking within the trend here. Any thoughts on how high this could go?
Well, we are currently in a 55 to 57.5 range here on Brent crude. And as we can see, momentum has been incredibly strong now since early November. The market has yet really to have a pause and have a rethink. And I think with this in mind, the focus today will basically be the monthly oil market report from OPEC. We saw the surprise OPEC cut from Saudi Arabia, unilateral cut recently, supporting the price. And obviously some OPEC's, we need to see OPEC's views on the demand over the coming months, because we've seen continuous slowdowns or down revisions to the demand outlook in recent months. So we'll see if that continues, or if whether OPEC is starting to see light at the end of the tunnel later in the year. So that potentially could have a bit of an impact today.
And it's pretty remarkable just noticing that the price has pulled up actually above the range lows from the latter part of 2019. So we're actually trading above despite the demand interruptions, we're trading above those lows from let's call it the fall of last year. So a remarkable recovery. Let's get to the calendar. One thing that's not on the calendar is this weekend's planned protests across the U.S. linked to the outcome of the 2020 election, and protests about whether that outcome is fair across the United States. Let's hope nothing happens there. I'm just a little bit on edge after what we saw unfolding last week. Supposedly a lot of planned demonstrations there. So some moment of risk, some level of risk. I'm not sure the market really wants to pick up on that. And then the actual inauguration day itself, I suppose, could be another event risk on that front. Hopefully, again, all transitioning without any problem. And then more specifically down to today, we have more Fed speakers. I'm getting tired of listening to these people, but the Fed Chair Powell himself is out today. I doubt if he's going to send any strong signals. It's all about we're going to provide support, and then let's see what happens once this vaccine rollout has happened and activity starts to pick up across the board. And then interesting, the December retail sales to close out the week tomorrow for the U.S. I think for today, we'll call it a day, and we'll be back tomorrow, of course, with the Saxo Market Call. Thanks for joining.